Chapter 19. R.O.U.S. Unlike the rest of the people at the wedding, I didn't have anybody besides Big D to take care of my house. I had known a dog back in the before that knew how to feed the other animals, and Big D was just about as intelligent, and probably hopped up on chi, but he definitely wasn't foolproof or a permanent solution. While everybody else would be hanging out in Verdant Hill for the rest of the week, generally getting drunk and having a good time, I had to go back home. So first thing in the morning, I went to the exchange. There were government-mandated rice prices, but as befitting a Xianxia world, there were different prices for different grades, all strictly codified. This stuff was taken extremely seriously, and there were a bunch of stern-faced imperial clerks and soldiers who would examine the rice and make sure you weren't trying any funny business. Most farmers had green-grade rice, which made up the vast bulk of the rice sold. It was good, solid rice that everybody liked. Gray grade was mainly considered trash and for only the poorest sections of society or animal feed. The blue grade was the prime stuff that would go to nobles and other wealthy people. I fully expected my rice to be blue rice. Hey, it was damn good rice. I did have some pride, and my rice was obviously superior in quality and size to the other rice that was here. I mean, sure, I'd cheated a bit with chi, but hard work had still gone into it. So I waited the hour or so until the next clerk could see me, and I let the guards and clerk examine my bags. A bit of rice was taken from one randomly selected, and the clerk poured several grains into his hands.
"This is spectacular rice, farmer," the clerk said appreciatively. "Your hardship and toils have been rewarded this year. This is the best blue-grade rice this humble clerk has ever laid eyes upon."
I smiled at him. "It took a while to clear, but the land is good." The clerk nodded his head.
"How many bags do you have for sale this year?"
he asked. After everything I had given away, as gifts and payment, 20 bags of white rice, I said. "I've got a bit more at home. This was all the cart could take."
"The clerks and scribes of the imperial court here shall purchase all of the currently available rice you have to sell," the clerk declared. "Should you bring more of it, I would ask that you think of the imperial clerks here first. We would welcome the fruits of your labor."
Huh. That was easy. We bowed to each other and I got a receipt. The other clerks, when they looked at my rice, seemed just as agreeable as the first guy. Now I just had to take these hawk feathers over to this guy and I would be set. My feet thudded as I set out at a light jog back home. I had gotten quite a reasonable price for my rice and hawk feathers, so I had bought some good, solid jars for pickling, as well as a bunch of salt for preserving fish. I wasn't the biggest fan of funazushi. Salt-fermented fish was an acquired taste, and it would take a couple of years to become real funazushi, but it was good to start soon, right? Everybody had been understanding about my needing to leave early, though Mei Mei had been a little bit pouty about it. So I asked her to help me with something around the back, then kissed the hell out of her when we were alone. The way her red face perfectly highlighted her freckles was always great, and bashful Mei Mei was fun to see. The way she looked up at me and bit her lip, Mei Mei was cute. After that, I'd started on my way. They would probably be fine on the return trip, and they had made that trip hundreds of times before without running into any spirit beasts, so all seemed good. Tigger was curled up in the cart and managing to sleep. It was quite a smooth ride, if I do say so myself. I absent-mindedly pushed a bit of chi into the road as I ran. Hopefully that would help with potholes, but it was mostly a dirt road. I wondered if I could make it better in the future, pave it or something. I certainly had the stamina and strength. Or I could pay people to do it, improve the local economy a bit. More thoughts for the future. When I'd first gotten to the area, I'd kind of had plans to go full hermit and do most of the things myself. That was a stupid-ass idea, really. I had been a moron, too eager to run. Then I'd gone and made friends and got a fiancé. Turned out most people I'd met so far were pretty normal, save for the cultivators, of course. But there was a small problem. The distance between my property and the village was pretty big. If I had known what the future might hold, I might have set up shop in Hongyaowu instead of what I did, but now I wasn't about to trade my property for anything. This was mine, and I was going to make it the best goddamn farm in the world. My feet kept thudding, traversing the empty road. I eventually decided to stop for the night. Even at my pace, it was still more than a day's trip back home. Sure, I could have pushed it and ran as I had with the rise, but nah, it wasn't worth it. Besides, this was my favorite spot and my favorite rock. I briefly entertained the idea of taking the rock with me. Maymay's "what the hell, Jin" face was hilarious, and bringing our rock back to my house would provoke another round of baffled amusement. I decided to leave it for now. I didn't have any room in my wagon anyways. I went to sleep thinking about our house and all the other things I needed. It was going to have medicine storage. I should ask Maymay about it later so I can build it properly. Do you know that sinking gut feeling you get from time to time? It started while I was eating lunch in the village, making sure to tell the people who'd had to stay all about the wedding. It felt like the bottom dropped out of my stomach. At first, I hadn't thought much about it, but as I finished my meal and I neared my house, the feeling became stronger. It was a kind of nauseous feeling, like something had gone really, really wrong. I started to get worried as I neared the gates. Had I been gone too long? Big D was a scrapper, but had a spirit beast ransacked my house? Had some disaster befallen it? Big D and Peppa were waiting for me at the gates. They both looked like the animal equivalent of having gone 12 rounds with Mike Tyson. Big D had blood all over his feathers. His once vibrant plumage was dull and stringy looking, and he seemed dead on his feet. It was all he could do to get into his customary bow, but I saw him twitch in pain as he did. Peppa was better off, but only barely. She had massive bruises all over her body and dried blood on her nose. She, too, dipped her head. A feeling of horror overtook me. My chi unconsciously bubbled, and both of my animals took a step back and gulped at the expression on my face. When Bidi felt the great master's overpowering chi, he thought his lord's rage had finally been roused and his life was forfeit. The little one squeaked in both horror and awe from her perch on his back. She nearly fell off of his body, such was her shock. Even he felt fear. The great master never used his unknowable power for violence. It was always a calm, nurturing stream that dispersed into the air and ground. Even when facing the wicked beasts, it was still and serene, unbothered by them. This was nothing so kind. The land responded to his wrath, bubbling and churning like a storm. His power rose, and the energy in the land rose with it, vast and overpowering. Terror seized Bidi's heart, but he stepped forward anyway, intent on shouldering all the dishonor upon himself. He was to blame. He should be the sole target of his lord's judgment. But instead of his great master smiting him for failure and dishonor, both himself and Sister Pipa were scooped into his strong arms and checked over for injuries. His lord paused when he saw the cowering form of the little black fur, his eyes narrowing, but she too was spared from his wrath. They were taken swiftly to the coop of their lord, where he made even more noises of distress and concern when he saw the damage done to Brother Chung Ki still asleep on his side. The gashes had been tended to as best as they were able, and they had to hope that it was enough. The lord disregarded the pots of heavenly herbs, not paying them any attention as he tended to their wounds. Bidi was once more humbled by his great master. He cared more for his disciples than the treasures of his coop. Even with his gross failure, he was still afforded a place within this blessed land. His eyes closed, and he finally allowed himself to succumb to exhaustion. I was not happy. Let me rephrase that. I was rip-shit pissed. Big D and Peppa were bad enough, but poor Chunky had nearly lost an eye to whatever tore up his face. The poor boy had woken up and oinked pitifully before once more going back to sleep, his eyes clouded with pain. I used up nearly all the medicine I had tending to him. At least I'd had the foresight to buy it earlier, just in case something went wrong with my chickens, but pigs were a lot bigger than birds and needed more of it. I glared at the new addition to the house, as did Tigger. The little stripy kitten was staring greedily at the rat that had been riding on Big D. "What happened here?" I asked, not really expecting an answer from the animals. To my surprise, the little rat bowed its head and pointed outside. "Well, shit," I thought. I got a little tour from the scurrying rodent, accompanied by a bunch of squeaks and words that I could almost understand. Peppa trotted along beside us, adding her own squeals and oinks where appropriate. It started with a broken pill furnace. The short, squat, almost pot-like device with vents on the side had been torn open, exposing an inside caked in black tar. A mass grave, some pills, and an absolutely hideous ROUS, rodent of unusual size, followed. I glared at the master splinter-looking motherfucker of a mutated rat. It was absolutely disgusting, halfway between human and rat, and despite the creature's stomach, I could see the six-pack and pecs he sported, like some kind of demented rat bodybuilder. The image of a fight nearly formed in my mind's eye. There were feelings of foulness, desperation, and deceit. I snarled, but there was nothing I could do now besides trying to fix up my house and hoping that Chunky was all right. I was in a foul mood the rest of the day as I stalked around the property, cataloging everything. There was damage, but it wasn't too bad. 5 bags of rice had been contaminated, chewed into, and soiled, which, compared to the amount left, was a light loss. The things that had taken the most damage were the lowly spiritual herbs. Most of them were gone, with only one pot left. I had some seeds, and they could be grown in winter with enough care, but I was still upset. They were the only things that made my normally bland food bearable. The weird root I was keeping was fine, though, still hiding in its pot, its chi signature unrecognizable until it was pulled from the ground. I honestly didn't know what to do with the root, and there was nothing about it in the archive, so I just put it back into the pot. I smashed the pills, mixing each of them with a bunch of water to dilute them. They looked a bit off, so they were probably toxic, and I didn't want them contaminating my farm. After that, I ripped apart the spirit furnace. The metal could be used for something, but I didn't care about the rest of it. It was a gross thing, all caked with black tar on the inside, and it stunk. Fucking pills. Of course it comes back to that. While I worked, I thought. The rat had confirmed a somewhat uncomfortable truth with her direct answers to my question. Big D just kind of did as he was told most of the time, and the other time he acted like a normal rooster. Now, I knew Big D was smart, but he was apparently nearly or as smart as a human? Same with Peppa and the rat? I grimaced. I had no intention of eating Big D, but if spirit beasts weren't rare, that meant Peppa and Chunky, who I was planning on eating eventually, were off the table too. I had no intention of eating anything sapient. That was just, ugh. Wait, I had eaten a chicken while Maymay and the boys were over. Had she been? I felt a bit sick to my stomach as I contemplated the horror of what I might have done. All right, cognitive test for everybody. But only after I burned Master Splinter, because goddamn, that guy was nasty. I looked to the little rat, waiting by my feet, her head bowed. Helpful. Friend, something told me. I smiled at the little girl and scratched her head with a single finger. The rat shied away from my finger, still looking sad and lost. I sighed. The rest of the animal seemed to like her, and from what I gathered, she had helped fight against the other rats. All right, you can stay, I told her. You need a name too for helping out. How about...